Well, good morning, everyone. I'm so glad that you're here to join in worship and be together during this time, even though it's still over Zoom. It's still very, very good, I think, and very helpful. Today, I want to share with you a few things from this reading from Numbers, which I find to be interesting and odd and challenging. And the particular verse that I want to focus on is the very last verse of that reading. So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. I know, isn't that just one of the oddest things you've ever come across? It really is. Now, what's even more incredible, I think, is that Jesus refers to this. And in John, he says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man, pardon me, be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." So he applies this practice to himself. And he says, you know, just as you look at in ancient Israel, they looked at the bronze serpent on the pole and they were healed. So you look at me when I'm lifted up and you receive your salvation. And what he's saying is, he pays for everything we cannot pay for, which includes the ability to set us free from our own sin. Just like the Israelites did not have the ability to heal themselves from these venomous serpent bites, so we do not have the ability to set ourselves free from our own sin. Now, this came up one Sunday some years ago. The reading was there, so I shared how just as it's impossible to be healed of the venomous bites of the serpents in Israel without the provision of God, so it's impossible for us to free ourselves from our own sin without the provision of God. Utterly impossible. Now, that goes even further, and we'll get into that in a minute. But that's what I shared. And one of the long-term members had trouble accepting that. I hard to imagine, I know, but they just couldn't do it. They said, wait a minute. And after many years in the church, she had never realized that she needed Jesus to pay for her sins and that she could not do that herself. It was quite eye-opening for her. And in fact, on the altar, you know, some of the parts on the altar, the superfrontal is what we call it, there was actually an embroidered symbol of a brass serpent on a pole right there on the altar. And I pointed to that, but still it was tough to accept. And I think that it is tough to accept that. We get to the point where we realize there's nothing in ourselves by which we can save ourselves. That's a difficult point to get to, but it is at the core of the Christian faith. Now, many people in the church will confess that, yes, I believe Jesus paid it all. And we sing songs about it and have prayers about it. And then we'll go out. I mean, I do this too. We'll go out and do things to help God out. You know, do stuff on our own power, in our own way, just to make sure that it gets done and that we're involved and that we have a part in it. That's the way that it is. And what we see here is when Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, he was showing how God provides for everything that God asks. Which is different from saying God asks us to do things and expects us to supply what's needed for it, that we take care of it on our own. What is required in God's kingdom is imparted to us by God. As God rules in our lives, that provision of the kingdom flows into our lives. And the reason that that is so important is that we have nothing within ourselves to take the steps of following Jesus that God calls us to take. All of that is provided by God. So let's take a little deeper look at this incident here in Numbers, out in the wilderness there. What happens is, as you could well imagine, if you have been inside for all these months under quarantine and so forth, they were getting a little itchy. Well, more than a little itchy. And they started complaining. And they began complaining about the provision that God had given them. And they didn't like the wilderness. They didn't like the manna. They didn't like any of it anymore. And they just complained. And so they complained to Moses about what God had provided. They had a lament. Remember, we looked at lamenting last week. And maybe you picked up on the step they missed in lamenting. They did not bring the lament to God. They brought it to Moses. And, you know, I mean, that's a natural thing to do. What's lacking is that Moses could do absolutely nothing about their lament. He couldn't provide anything else except manna. I guess they tried all different kinds of things. Some of you might remember that old Keith Green song where he listed the things that you could make out of manna. Manna burgers, manicotti, all kinds of things. And they just got tired of it. Just can't do this anymore. And they complained to Moses, thinking that Moses could do something about it, and Moses could not. They did not wait on God. They didn't tell God, we're so tired of this, and then wait on God. They just complained to Moses and let it go at that. So God sends fiery serpents among them who bite them and they die. Now you're probably thinking, well, I mean, what kind of God is this? It's the God who went to the cross. That's who it is, who took that punishment, that physical punishment, which was brutal. This is the same God. Now, what this points to is that God's character is completely holy. It's perfect in every way. And if God were to just make room for our imperfection, then God would not be holy anymore. I'll give you a little illustration of what I have that I learned some years ago from Evangelism Explosion. Let's say that you're driving around. You're tired of staying at home, so you're driving around. And you drive by my house, and then you say, hey, there's John's house. So you knock on the door. It's like, I don't know, 11:30 in the morning or something. And I say, hey, it's you. Come on in. We're virus-free. This will be fine. Come on in. We'll just keep social distance. And I said, you know what? It's almost lunchtime. How about I get something together? And so you're waiting in the living room. I go to the kitchen. I look in the refrigerator, and there's a dozen eggs. I thought, oh, good. I can make an omelet. This will be very good. So I start cracking the eggs in the pan, and you know it looks good, or whatever else you do for an omelet. And I get to the last one, and I crack it, and it is gone bad. It is just one rotten egg. And I get worried. I think, you know, if I don't use all 12, there won't be enough. So I put it in there. And the omelet is cooking, and you're sitting out there, and you start to smell it. And the odor gets worse and worse and worse. And finally, I put it on a plate, I bring it out to you, and you look at it and you say, I appreciate the work you did to this, but my digestive system simply will not be able to receive this egg, this omelet. It just won't receive it. It'll reject it, in, as you can imagine, in a fairly aggressive manner. And the holiness of God's character is the same with our sin. It just can't mix it. And that's what God took care of on the cross. In the older prayer books, it was called the full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice for our sins. That holiness went right on the cross and paid completely for our sin. And we are just not able to do that. And that's what he did. Now, Moses here just carried this further. He did what God asked him to do. He lifted up the sign of God's salvation. When the people confessed their sins to God about complaining about Moses and God's provision, then God made a provision for healing and salvation. And that's where I thought, well, this is just crazy. He said to Moses, go make a bronze replica of a snake, put it on a pole, and go out to the sick people and say, just look at this snake on the pole, and you'll be well. I don't know. I mean, how would you feel if you had been bitten by one of these fiery, venomous snakes? You know you're going to die. Here comes Moses with a bronze replica on a pole and says, hey, look at this. What would you do? I'd say there's two possible routes. One is you just don't believe it. You think Moses has lost his mind. The other is, you know you can't save yourself from this, so you decide to trust God. Those are the two paths to take. And of course, we see that those who looked on it were healed. All of that points to an essential part of the practice of the Christian faith. It's a part of it, but it's essential. It's a series of admissions that you cannot do what God has asked you to do apart from the power of God. You just cannot do what God asks you to do apart from the power of God. Just like Israel could not be healed from the venom of these fiery serpents apart from the power of God. And we